prepare ourselves for our study in the Word of God. Now, next Sunday is Christmas, of course, and we will have the 10:30 class, but we'll not have this 9:15 class. And you can get up and open presents and do all that kind of stuff, and then come and worship with us. So we will not have the 9:15, but we will have the 10:30. Then the following Sunday is the first day of New Year, and I know y'all are going to get rowdy on New Year's night, so we'll not have the 9:15, but we will have the 10:30. So for the next two Sunday mornings, we will not have the 9:15 class, Christmas morning and New Year's morning. But we will have the 10:30 class on both of those days. All right. Jody Brown, he's up in Atlanta, Indiana, and got an email this morning, and he said that a lot of the churches cancel classes so bad up there, but that they're going to go ahead and have worship service. And Ed, you're like this. I wrote back and I said, that's it. Test their volition. See if they're really positive or not. Find out if they're really into it or not. And be in prayer for Jody Brown and his assembly. They make it to church and all that and worship God fine. John Hintz is really suffering in Tucson. It got down to 31 this morning. And all the way down to 31. Boy, Tucson is hurting. And of course, it's going to get up to 95, didn't know. It'll get up there a little bit. And I called him yesterday, and I told him, he said, yeah, I said, we had a cold front. It got down to 65. I said, yeah, all right. Don't expect any sympathy from anywhere in America. You're not going to get it. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and the purpose of the prayer. You've made the effort to get up and get here. And so let's be in the power of the Holy Spirit for the worship and the study of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You have made man and woman, husband and wife, family, as the basic institution of any nation. You set up, Heavenly Father, various broad ideas of the relationship between the husband and wife. And therefore, Father, we pray Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray this in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and last week we dealt with 4, 5, and 6, and we're ready for verse 7, but let's just read 4, 5, and 6, and Jennifer, man, you look like you're really cold. It's cold outside, isn't it? All right, verse 4, every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying, in other words, leading in the assembly worship, disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying in assembly, disgraces her head. For she is one and the same with her whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. Now we've come into verse 7. Verse 7, now God has set the boundaries in every area of our lives, including the top of our heads in worship and dealing with one another. He does it with a divine purpose, intention, to reveal His own existence and His sovereign plan. Now this is carried through in verse 7. For indeed, man ought not to have his head uncovered, for have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. That starts off, for a man ought not to have his head covered. Now, if you look down in verse 10, therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. So a man ought not to have his head covered. A woman ought to have her head covered. Okay, let's take up verse 7, the first part. For indeed, man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image of God. Now, what about glory? It doesn't say glory. In verse 7, it says, for he is not to have his head covered, is the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. But nothing about the image of God, but just the glory of God. So let's take a look and see what's going on in this respect. One, by caring about the fact that man has short hair and the woman long hair is a visible expression of the honor which belongs to God. So our hair covering of our head symbolizes the respect and the honor of God himself. And people, this is true in so many areas of life. And in the military, for an example, one of the first things they do, they strip you of all your civilian clothes and all your hair. There it goes. Now, for a lot of us, it didn't matter. We didn't have much up there anyway. But and then you were to keep it a certain length throughout that time frame to demonstrate your submission to the military. Now, again, the question, does it matter that a man has long or short hair? According to the word of God, it matters to God. Therefore, it ought to matter to us. Two, pastor teacher specifically called the glory of Christ in 2 Corinthians 8:23, because they are visible tribute to Christ as the head of the church. Now, what is now interesting, in virtue of the same law that governs what the man ought not to do, is now that same law is now used to say what the woman ought to do, how she ought to present herself. Verse 7 says, but the woman is the glory of man. Again, we have the absence of the definite article, the. It just says, but the woman is glory of man. Okay, let's cover this one in a few points and make our way through it. One, in discharge of office of responsibility in the assembly, a man is not to have his head covered. The same principle places the woman under obligation to do just the opposite. Two, here again, ladies rebel and complain about the phrase like this, woman is glory of a man. Now, I'd be afraid to take a survey of how many women agree with this, and I'm talking about Christian women, so I'm not even going to do it in my own assembly. And one, I don't want to put you on the spot to lie, and two, I don't think I'd want to know the truth, so we'll not take any kind of overt survey here. But when you agree with it, you mean that you should live in that way. She is the glory of her husband. This is the word of God. This is not my word. Man did not write this. God the Holy Spirit wrote this. Woman is the glory of her husband. Point three. But at the same time, how many men live daily as though they are the glory of Christ. Because the man has short hair, he's the glory of Christ. So point three just puts it in perspective. How many men live daily as though they are the glory of Christ? Not very many. Four, many know and believe in the rapture, coming of the rapture of the church. Know and believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, second advent. But don't intrude on their daily lives that he is the glory of Christ and is to live that way. She is the glory of her husband and is to live that way. Talk all you want to about the rapture. Talk all you want to about the second advent. But don't go meddling in my personal life. Don't go meddling telling me I'm the glory of Christ or I'm the glory of my husband. That's meddling. No, it isn't meddling, people. It's the Word of God. This is what the Word of God declares. Five. Make no doubt about this. Many Christian ladies know this principle and therefore do not marry. Many know it and therefore because of this do not marry. Just so they do not have to submit to a man. And there are a lot of women that make that decision. Just not going to marry, so I don't have to submit to any man. So I'm not going to marry. But always remember, ladies and gentlemen, God knows your heart. And if you want to deprive yourself of a wonderful blessing of God, marriage, in protest of some aspect of it, you're the loser. We always lose when we try to protest against what God has designed. You're going to lose. Point six. Why is the woman created to be glory of man? Why is the woman created to be the glory of the man? This is answered in the next few verses. The woman is glory of the man because she was taken out from him to be created for him. Look at verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, for man does not originate from the woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. It's the Word of God. That's the order, that's the design, that's the purpose of the creation. Woman was designed and brought into existence because of man, because of the male. All right, so y'all not throwing anything at me, so I'll go on to point seven. This is the Word of God. And as long as a woman rebels against these verses, she will not find happiness in life, in marriage, or in life. She will continue to blame the man for the absence of happiness in the marriage. But as soon as a woman lines up her thinking and living with the Word of God, then and only then will she find happiness in marriage. But as long as you rebel against God's plan, you're not going to find happiness in marriage. And don't blame your husband. Blame yourself. You don't like the plan of God. I'm going to use a base example, a stupid example, but hopefully it will convey. Ron Springs was a Dallas Cowboy runner. And then they got Dorsett. He was going to be a blocker. And the first year this happened, he had a pitiful season, both in blocking and running. Between those two seasons, and I never heard why, he never told us why, but he said he made up his mind. If I'm going to be a blocker, I'm going to be the best one. And the very next year, he had a fabulous year. Had a fabulous year. Dorsett had a fabulous year. He was a great blocker. He made up his mind, this is what I'm delegated to. This is what the coach said I'm going to do. So I either do it or get out. And I use that example. Ladies, this is the way it is. This is the way God designed it. Either you get understand it and accept it and live with that and find your happiness in marriage, or rebel, not be happy, and blame your husband. Blame somebody that you're not happy in marriage. Blame God if you wish. Blame your husband. But if you will just say, okay, this is God's design. This is why I'm here. This is it. And accept it and move on in that respect. Point eight. We should consider it an honor. One of the highest honors for one person to become the object of another person's love and devotion. This is the position of Christ. When a believer, of their own free will, decides to love and serve Jesus Christ, and consider it an honor to love and serve Jesus Christ. What is being said in these verses is that every man should consider the highest honor to him that a woman would love him, respect him, be his glory. Not a lot of women, just one woman, the one that's a grace gift from God. That's how he ought to consider his wife, a grace gift of God, an honor that she is there in his life. Point nine. The more the one loving in self-devoted and is exalted and cared for by the one she loves and honors, increases the value of her own soul. Such it is with one who is self-devoted to the Lord and exalted by the Lord, cared for by the Lord, like sending his Spirit, sending his word, his love. The more we as believers are honored to love and serve him. And so it is, husbands, with your wives. The more you love her, show her you love her, care for her, protect for her, provide for her, they will consider it an honor to be your glory. So it works on both sides. It's a joint deal here. See, arrogant man who takes these passages and said, I'm the Lord, you do what I want. I want no hearsay or anything about it. And she may do it. She may do it, but it isn't out of love. And it isn't out of respect. So, we've got to understand God's view here of the marriage institution. Point 10. Again, we have the truth. We have seen that if you want to know how to be a good husband, as under the Lord, and a good wife, as under the Lord, the more you need to study the Word of God. You don't go buy books on this. You study the Word of God, especially Christ and His church. Not read books on how to have a happy marriage. Read the book on how Christ was with His church, how His church responded to Him, what the church is to do in regard when they don't like something God has set up. I submit to you. Don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I submit. Took Job 41 chapters to learn that. Finally, in chapter 42, I take back, as it were, everything I've said. You're God. I submit. And that's what we have to do with this plan as far as our life is concerned. We are to understand He is the head of the church. We submit to that. He provides for us. He gives to us the fruit of His Spirit of love, joy, peace. So the husband should learn from how the relationship of Christ and the church works. The wife should learn how to be a wife from how Christ and the church work. How the church responds, submits to Christ. That's how she submits to her husband. The husband learns, how does Christ take care of His church? That's how he ought to regard his wife. So this is their greatest issue. This is their greatest point in the Word of God to study. If you want to have a happy marriage, study Christ and the church. We saw this in Ephesians chapter 5, well documented in Ephesians 5. Point 11. Every man should consider his wife a grace gift from God, so endowed as a woman by God. You know, even men that are critical, not all, because we have the perverts in the world, but just most, say men, even if they don't really like men, they like women. They like to have a woman around. People, when God made woman, He endowed them with all the qualities of being a woman. All the glory she possesses is homage rendered to the man for whom she was made. It's got to be your attitude. The grace gift of God, she is so endowed as a woman, she possesses homage rendered to man for whom she was made. Think about it, ladies. You were made for one man by God. Think of it, gentlemen. One woman was made for you. Now, you want to wait for that man. You want to wait for that woman. Now, does that mean one and only one? Let me start off this discussion with a humor. Only one at a time. But the point being is that if there's death or the grounds of divorce and all, then God has another one in mind. But only one at a time. You don't get two or three at a time. And I'll tell you what's really disastrous is the man who thinks he's going to date four or five and not marry any. Boy, that'll get you into a grave quick. See? So this is, you wait for that man, you wait for that woman. The beauty of her body, the beauty of her soul, the way she is all for you. By God's design. As we're going to see that in the next few verses. By God's design. Her body, her soul, the way she is for you. Her personality is for you. Read the Bible. Read how precious you are to God the Father. How do we know we're precious to God the Father? God the Father loves His Son. His Son came and executed His plan, which required the death of the cross, spiritual death on the cross, crushed soul, Isaiah 53. So God wants to give something nice to His Son. What does He give His Son? Everyone who believes in His Son. You are a grace gift from God the Father to Jesus Christ. That's how valuable you are. That's how valuable you are. It's Christmas time. A lot of us can't afford a whole lot, but we like to give something nice to the person to whom we're married. My wife, your wife, this type of thing. Because they're precious to you. You're precious to God. So precious that He gave you to His Son. Then read the Word of God, how Jesus Christ thinks about you. You can find out what Christ thinks of you. See? In His prayer, in John 17, He asked God the Father specifically that those You have given Me, all believers, will be with Me forever. And that's why He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. I come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I haven't made a wonderful place for you out there somewhere, and you go live there. No, it's with Me. It's with Me, with Him. That's how valuable you are to Jesus Christ. That's how valuable you are to God the Father. That's how valuable you are to Jesus Christ. That, gentlemen, is how valuable your wife should be to you. That's how valuable she should be. Now, let's put in a little side mark here. Not all husbands are going to handle this correctly. Not all wives are going to handle this correctly. A man can love his wife and treat her as the Lord would have him to, but she's got in her soul, she ain't going to like it. And she's not going to be happy. And there's nothing he can do to make her happy. Nothing. Just like God is not going to be able to make a believer who doesn't want the fruit of the Holy Spirit, give them peace and joy and love. They don't want it. A woman can be married to the most wonderful guy in the world. But if she doesn't want to be submissive, if she doesn't want to respect him, it isn't going to work. That's all there is to it. What's he to do? Well, if you want to know from the Bible, Hosea had such a wife. Not only did she not respect him, she sold her body into prostitution. First of all, she just gave it away. Then she sold it. And then she went under a pimp. Hosea went to the pimp and bought back his wife. I think most of us would have said, bye. Here's your suitcase. See? Not Hosea. And what's that a picture of? That's God's attitude toward us. He'll come after you. He'll come after you. He loves you. So this whole thing, people, is a way of understanding the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, read John 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. You read those chapters in the Bible, and you'll see how Jesus Christ loves and cares for his bride, the church. Husbands, read it and learn. Read it and learn. He sends his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. He reveals his Father to us. He goes to prepare a place for us, that where we are, that where he is, there we may be. He promised to return, to gather us up to himself. That's the importance of the rapture. One of the great importance of the rapture. Why are we to look forward to it? Keep looking up for him to come. Why do we do that? See? Be with him. He said, I'll come and get you. And one day he's going to get up from his seat in heaven, and he's not going to come to earth. He's going to come down and call us. And we'll go up, and a lot of things happen. First thing that happens is the judgment seat of Christ. Then, after 7 years, he'll come back to earth. But we will be with him. We're his bride. We're going to have the wedding feast in heaven, the wedding supper here on earth, when the king returns. It's a beautiful story. And we should learn about a husband-wife relationship from how Jesus Christ is with the church. And men, if you want to learn how to love your wife, study Jesus Christ. Ladies, if you want to learn how you should regard your husband, submit to him, study the church and its relationship to Jesus Christ. Husbands, do you give your wives the love to which she gladly responds, submits, and desires to respond to? Or do you cause her a headache? See? So, point 11 there is very, very important in our study. Now, one other point in verse 7. Read it carefully and note that a word is not repeated. Man is glory of God. Woman is glory. You know, the woman is said to be the glory of man. The man is the image and glory of God. Look at verse 7. Man is the image and glory of God. But woman is said simply to be the glory of the man, not the image. Why not? Why did Paul leave out the image here? This is very simple. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created in his own image, in the image of God, twice said, in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. The woman is the image of God. The man is the image of God. She is not the image of her husband. She is the image of God. But she is said to be the glory of her husband. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8 and 9. Purpose of the creation of man and woman. Purpose of the creation. Let's just read verses 8 and 9 and we'll get to work on them. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Needless to say, this passage has caused a great deal of misunderstanding, and I am afraid a great deal of abuse by both men and women of Scripture. Actually, verses 8 and 9 are designed to confirm that woman is man's glory. That's what it's designed to do. So let's take a look at it. For man does not originate from. The preposition, out from. Man does not originate out from woman, but woman out from man. Therefore, or for indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman was created, as he understood the repeating of the verb, for man's sake. Now, no Greek word for sake here. You can leave that out. For indeed, man was not created because of the woman, but woman because of the man. The preposition should be translated because, and there is no for the sake of. Okay, presence of the definite article, from. Now, before we go any further, let's see here. We got to understand what Paul is doing. So look at verse chapter 11, but look at verse 12 to put it into a perspective. But for as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. So Paul is going to balance this out. But what he's talking about here is original creation, original design in coming to being. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now we're dealing with, for indeed man was not created because of the woman, but woman because of the man. Presence of the definite article, the man, the woman. Why? Look at Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "Not good for the man, the male, to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Actually, what it says is a helpmate corresponding to him. A helpmate corresponding to him. Verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever he called a living creature, that was its name. I love modern science. Oh, well, an evolution, man just started, No, man started off as a genius. Adam had a vocabulary and named every one of the birds, every one of the creatures, everything. He named them. That was his vocabulary at original creation. Now let's move to verse 20. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But, for Adam, there was not found a helper corresponding to him. Principle. Before man needed salvation, he was incomplete. Before man needed salvation, he was incomplete. He was in need of a helpmate corresponding to him. Now, people, we're all happy and agree the salvation God provided us, which we needed, was perfect. He provided a perfect salvation. Well, let me tell you something. God's solution to the loneliness of man is also perfect. Also perfect. God is perfect. Now, in verse 21, we have the divine love in action. Verse 21 of Genesis 2, we have divine love in action. See, what do we learn about love? Love sees a need and meets that need. For God so loved the world in this manner that he gave. He saw the need. Look at verse 21 now. So, seeing, coming off of verse 20, but for Adam there was not found a corresponding helpmate suitable for him. So, seeing the need, motivated by divine love, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he, God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh that was placed at that place. The Lord God fashioned that rib into a woman, the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. Now note the word fashioned. He fashioned. Verse 22. The Lord God fashioned. This is the Hebrew word bana, B-A-N-A-H. And the word fundamentally means to build, to construct. But look at Genesis 1. Look at Genesis 1 a moment, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of man, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we have the word create three times in one verse. Three times. And they're all the same. They're all the same word, bara, B-A-R-A. To create out of nothing. It is used here in reference to the invisible essence of male and female. The invisible essence, our soul, spirit. So in Genesis 1:27 is the creation of the invisible soul essence and spirit of male and female. In Genesis 2:27 is stated that God did a masterful surgery on the male while he slept and extracted the rib of the male. And out of that rib, God built, fashioned, artistically formed woman. Look at Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground. So ladies, if it offends you that you're from the rib, don't be too offended. We're nothing but formed from dirt. That's what we were formed out of, the dirt of the ground. She at least was formed out of a solid rib. But the man was formed out of the dirt of the ground. It's a different word. In verse 2:7, it's a different word for constructing or forming the physical makeup of the male out of the dust of the ground. But the woman's body was formed, built, constructed by God out of Adam's rib and breathed into his nostrils. I'm continuing verse Genesis 2:7. Then God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Wrong. It's a plural. In simple Hebrew, you realize that's a plural. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. What does that mean? See, they can't understand this, the translators. So sometimes they don't like to put in the plurals and things. They can't make sense out of it. It's easy. Physical and spiritual life. God breathed into him physical life and spiritual life. Man was originally created trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. God formed his body out of the dirt of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of physical and spiritual lives. Now let's go back to Genesis 2:23. Genesis 2:23. Then the man said, "This is now bone of my bones." And this comes off of Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. I think Judith would probably think I could do that. I'd sleep right through it and wouldn't wake up at all. But I think the Lord gave him a little extra type of sleeping here in that regard. Okay. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman, built into the woman, the rib, which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. Now, let's go to verse 23. The man said, "This is bone of my bones, his rib, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Historically, God provided salvation for man, and historically, God provided salvation for a woman. He provided man with a woman. God did all of this in the garden. So the great thing God did for man outside of salvation was the design of a woman to be a helpmate corresponding to him. Now, let's take some summary points and pull some of these things together. One, man was alone in the garden. In a beautiful garden, beautiful, but he was alone. In the beautiful garden, man found himself without a helpmate corresponding to him. Incomplete. Why did God do this? Why did God create the man incomplete? So that every male would understand the all importance of woman to him. His soul, his body, and his spiritual journey. So God did this right from the very beginning. And he did it with a purpose in mind. He brought man into the existence, not complete, incomplete. Two, and God designed and created the perfect solution for that loneliness, a woman. God created the perfect solution for the loneliness, and I mean perfect. People, God is perfect. You have a problem with it? You have a problem with your salvation then. He provided salvation. That was perfect. He provided the cure for his loneliness, a woman. That was perfect. So God designed and created the perfect solution, brought that solution to man, woman. Three, Yes, the man was designed and created first, placed in the garden. But he found himself incomplete, and God designed the completion of man, the woman, physically and soulishly. The design of the man's body determined the design of the woman's body. It's that simple. 3, the man was designed and created first, placed in the garden. But he found himself incomplete. God designed and completion of man, the woman. 4, woman was designed by God, created by God, to complete the man, to be a helpmate corresponding to him. It's just simple, people. This is God's design. 5, she was created because of man. That is because he was created first and was incomplete. She was created to complete him. So that's why the preposition in 1 Corinthians 11 is because of. Because of the man. 6, every man should do 2 things before he marries. Before any young man marries, he should do 2 things. First, he must realize he is incomplete. He is alone. And I'm talking about a lot more than sex. Secondly, he should realize that God has both designed and brought to him a perfect solution, a grace solution, the woman he is about to marry. 7, faith to one another, I would say, yeah. But it's just one of many sins that people commit that we do it out of our own volition. And it's these kinds of things that cause a lot of people to become discouraged about marriage, discouraged about women, discouraged about men. And I'm going to live my life without a man. I'm going to live my life without a woman. And all these reactions and things instead of just bowing to the plan of God, submitting to the plan of God. Yes. Is it a sin for a woman to leave her husband with no reason? Now, if he beats her or stuff like that, that's a different scenario. Okay. Point 10. Let's start off with the fact that God, not man, God designed male and female for each other. Therefore, it's a perfect plan. God is perfect. Only that which is perfect can come from a perfect God. There are many people who have waited for God's perfect plan in their lives and are very happy for it. See? I'm one of those people. I waited 67 years. See? But I'm thankful. I'm thankful I waited, and I'm thankful for God's blessing. But you've got to learn these principles from His Word. Wait until God brings you the one that He has designed. So we have to start off with God's solution, God's design. His solution is perfect. His design is perfect. Sin messes it up. Sin distorts it. Sin causes it to crash. But where there are 2 people who strive to walk in the filling of the Spirit and honor God, have wonderful marriages. In fact, there are unbelievers who have wonderful marriages. We're going to see next, it'll be next year now, because there'll be no 9:15 class the next 2 Sundays. We'll not do it on Christmas morning, so you can get up and have Christmas with your family and then come to the 10:30 class. And I have no illusions that you're going to get up on New Year's Eve morning and make it to 9:15 class. You might make it to 10:30, and I promise we'll have lots of coffee. So we have to understand this is God's design. Now, It should be noted that one man for one woman for one man, and this is the only happiness unbelievers may experience. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9. Marriage is designed for the unbeliever as well as believers. Ecclesiastes 9. Where's Ecclesiastes? You got a table of content, or you can go to the book of Psalms, go from there. Proverbs, Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. This is your reward. Do you see that, man? Look what your reward is. A woman. That's God's reward to you. Enjoy life with the woman whom you loved all the days of your fleeting life, which God, which he has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life. And in your toil, that's from the curse of Genesis 3, in which you have labored under the sun. Now, technically there is no verb to enjoy. The Hebrew says to look or to see life. Look at life, see life. And it becomes an idiom for enjoyment, but it means to look, to see, means to discern. Discern something about the woman that you have, the woman that you loved. The man is to love his wife, Ephesians chapter 5. All the days of your life, your fleeting life, good days, bad days, to love your wife, be thankful for her. Men and ladies, that for which you constantly give thanks for, you will value. You do not constantly give thanks for your husband and your wife, you will not value them. You do not constantly give thanks for your church, you will not value it. There's another church right down the street. See? There's another woman. There's another man out there. No, this is the one God has given me. You give thanks for it, for that person every day. And this is how you will enjoy your fleeting life. And life is fleeting. Life goes by very fast. You don't think it goes by fast? Ask James Webb after class. He'll tell you how fast life goes by real quick. Hey? So this is the happiness that you have as an unbeliever. Okay, we will resume there next year. But no class the next two Sundays. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, sometimes it takes some time to digest, simulate, understand, and then accept and believe what your word declares. But once we do get in line with your plan, we see it so clearly. Yes. Yes, this is a grace gift from God. My wife, my husband. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen in this study, let it settle in our souls and then in our marriages. Pray your Spirit will use the things we have seen to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.